Acts chapter 9. Now, you remember Saul was the one who was agreeing to the death of Stephen, and how he afterwards went and dragged off the house churches into prison and persecuted the church. Saul kept up his threats of murder against the people who followed the Lord Jesus, the Christians. He went to the high priest and asked for letters so that he could go to the synagogues in Damascus, which is quite a long way away, so that he could find those who belonged to the way. Now, that's what they call Christianity to start with, the way. Rather like the way to the tree of life, which was in the Garden of Eden, and the angels, the cherubim, kept that way. So that's what they used to call the Christians to start with, the way, because he wanted to arrest both men and women and take them to Jerusalem to be judged. But as Saul was coming near to the city of Damascus, suddenly there was a great bright light from heaven that came around him. He fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" he asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and go into the city," that's Damascus, "and there you'll be told what you must do." Those who were traveling with Saul stopped and were silent. They heard the voice but did not see a person. Saul rose from the ground, opened his eyes, but he was blind. He could not see. So they had to lead him by the hand and bring him into Damascus. And he was 3 days blind, and he didn't eat or drink. He was fasting. Now there was in Damascus a believer, a Christian believer called Ananias, and he had had a vision, a dream, in which the Lord Jesus had said to him, "Ananias." "Here I am, Lord," he had replied. And that's, of course, how we always should be, like Samuel was, "Here am I." Whenever we get that call, in whatever way. And the Lord Jesus said to Ananias, "Go to the street that is called Straight Street." I guess it was just very straight. "Go to the house of Judas and ask for a man called Saul from Tarsus. You'll find he's praying. And he, in a vision, has seen a man called Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him so that he can see." But Ananias replied, "Lord, many people have told me about how wicked this man is and about all the awful things that he has done to your people in Jerusalem. And he's come to Damascus. He's got power from the chief priests to arrest all those who are Christians." So this is typical of how we are. We think, "Oh no, Lord, you don't actually know everything that's going on here on the earth. Let me just tell you. You see, Lord, you told me to go and baptize or see this man Saul. Ah, but just let me inform you." And of course, the Lord Jesus knows all things that are going on. And this is our weakness as well. We think that we have got more knowledge than God, that he doesn't really know what's going on here on the earth. But of course he does. He knows better than we do. And so the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. He is a chosen instrument for me. He's going to serve me. He's going to make my name known to the Gentiles, and he's going to bring it before kings and the people of Israel. And I'm going to show him what great things he must suffer for my sake." So Ananias went, and he entered into this house of Judas where Saul was, put his hands on him, and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus himself has sent me. He's the one who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here. He has sent me so that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately there was something like scales that fell off from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. Saul stood up and was baptized, and once he'd eaten, his strength returned to him. Saul stayed for a few days with the believers in Damascus. He went straight away to the synagogues and began to preach that Jesus was the Son of God. And everyone who heard him was amazed. And of course, they were asking, "Isn't this the man who was killing people in Jerusalem who believe in Jesus?" And didn't he come here so that he might arrest Christian people and take them back to Jerusalem to the chief priests to be judged? But Saul kept on preaching very powerfully, proving that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah. And the Jews in Damascus could not answer him. After some time had gone by, the Jews made plans to kill Saul, but he was told of their plans. Every day and every night they were watching the gates of the city of Damascus so that they could kill him. But one night, the brothers took Saul and let him down over the wall in a basket. And later on, when he's writing to the Corinthians, he says that that was one of the most humbling things that was ever done to him. So maybe in the basket there was all sorts of smelly rubbish and waste. Who knows? Saul went to Jerusalem. You can imagine him like the spies who were let down over the walls of Jericho by Rahab, scuttling away as quickly as they could from the walls. Saul went to Jerusalem and he went to the disciples, but they did not believe that he was a disciple and they were frightened of him. But Barnabas, he was really a good man, Barnabas. Barnabas took him and he introduced him to the apostles and he tried to persuade them that Saul had seen the Lord Jesus on the road and that the Lord Jesus had spoken to him. And he told the brothers in Jerusalem how bravely Saul had preached in the name of Jesus in Damascus. And so Saul remained with them and was going in and out with them in Jerusalem, boldly preaching in the name of the Lord Jesus. And he argued with the Greek-speaking Jews, and again they tried to kill him. But when the other Christians found out about this, they took Saul to Caesarea and sent him away to Tarsus. That's, of course, where Saul had come from in the first place. That's where he was born and grew up. So you can see how jealousy works, that because they knew underneath that what Saul was saying was the truth, they wanted to kill him and they hated him because of it. And Paul says later on, "Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" And we see that sort of jealousy in our lives. So it was that the church had a great period of peace and growth throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria. And in the strength of the Holy Spirit, the church was made strong and grew bigger, serving the Lord. But Peter was traveling around everywhere, and he came to visit the believers who were in Lydda. And there was a man called Aeneas, who was paralyzed and had not got out of bed for 8 years. Peter said to him, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ makes you whole. Get up and make your bed." Immediately Aeneas got up, and everyone living in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. In Joppa was a woman called Tabitha. Her name is Dorcas in Greek, which means a deer. And this Tabitha, or Dorcas, was a believer. And she spent all her time helping the poor and doing good works. But at that time she fell sick and died, and her body was washed and laid in an upper room. Now Joppa, being not very far from Lydda, and the believers in Joppa hearing that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him, asking him to please hurry and come to us. So Peter immediately went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to that upper room where all the widows were around the body of Tabitha or Dorcas. They were weeping and showing him all the clothes that Dorcas had made while she was alive. Peter asked them all to leave the room. He knelt down and prayed, and then he turned to the body. This is exactly, of course, how Jesus did it when he raised the centurion's daughter. And he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and she saw Peter and sat up. Peter gave her his hand and helped her to rise up. Then he called all the believers and the widows and presented her alive to them. Now the news about this spread throughout Joppa, and many people turned to the Lord Jesus. Peter remained in Joppa for many days with a tanner of leather who was called Simon. Now a tanner is a man who makes leather, and they used to have to work then with the skins of animals, and there would have been blood on them, and some of those skins were from unclean animals. So this man would not have been clean according to the Jews' religion. And so he was probably living separately a little bit from the more righteous Jews, and Peter goes and stays with him. So you see continued this great theme that God works through the humble, through the people who are excluded, through the weak, not through the strong and the popular and the mighty. This is his way, and this is how he works with us. And it's why all of us have got something in our lives. It could be that you got a physical weakness or some other weakness or some lack in your life. And that's all from God, so that we'd be humble and so that he can use us.